God is good
all the time.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Would you turn to Psalm 103, please? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is everybody there? Psalm 103. Let's speak the psalm together, please. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's what we do in worship. That's what we do in praise. It is the opportunity to bless the Lord with all you got. It is the greatest honor that you can give to the Lord. It is the greatest way that you can tell him, thank you. Thank you. See, because we can't even be obedient without God's presence. The greatest way that you can tell him, look at Dad, thank you, I love you, is to praise him with all you have, to worship him, to humble yourself before him. There isn't anything greater and more pleasing to our Father than when he sees his children come to him in a humble state and say thank you. See, you can say thank you and not mean it. You can say thank you all day long. Oh, thanks, Lord. Thanks for this. Thanks for the blessing. But when he says, okay, now show me you're grateful. Show me that you're thankful. This is the opportunity that we get to show him. And let me tell you something. It's something we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss the opportunity to say thank you. We want to hit every opportunity that there is to say thank you. Because you stay filled with God's joy and his presence. And what begins to happen is his character becomes more formed in you through his presence. See, the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit gives life. You can know the word and memorize the page numbers and still be an idiot. Because it's God's presence that changes me and you. The word of God should always bring us the desire to get into his presence. I want to know you. I don't want to just read about you. I love to read about you, but I want to know who you are. I want to know your glory. I want to know that what pleases you. I want to know you. I want to know your voice. I want to know your unction. I want to know when you want me to move. I want to know when you want me to be still. I want to know when you want me to speak, and I want to know when you want me to shut up. You want me to see, and I want to hear what you want me to hear. Because I want to know you. Not because of what you've done, because of who you are. Who you are. And in this, he says, this is a wonderful psalm because it brings us the reality of what pleases God. And in that, there are benefits that come from his presence. So it says, bless the Lord, verse 2, all my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my imaginations is my soul. And forget not his benefits. We don't go into his presence because of his benefits. We go into his presence because of who he is. He has nothing to do with how you feel. God doesn't look at how you feel. Because he's always trying to exchange your feeling for his presence. Because too many people live by how they feel instead of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, which is the true emotions of God for me and you. He says, forget not the benefits that when you do come in, he says, okay, come on in my presence. This is wonderful. You know, I can heal you in my presence. You know, I can remove that torment of mind. Are those demons that are attached to you and hindering you? I can remove them too. I can empower you. I can flip your heart upside down. I can change the course of life. No matter how long you've known me, I can still change your course. Forget not his benefits. Verse 3, it says, he forgives our iniquities, and he who heals our diseases, dis-ease. That's just not sicknesses. Majority of people's dis-ease is mental. He says, he redeems your life from destruction. This is at any time. See, the word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. But there must be something to, how does he do that? It takes cooperation. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yes. so that we're renewed. I'm actually 150 years old. No, I'm not. But we want to stay in God's joy. You know, the Bible tells us that a joyful heart is good medicine. Man, I don't care. I want to stay drunk in the Spirit all the time. People say, well, if you're so spiritually bound, you're not earthly bound. Oh, really? Try me. That's just carnal stuff. That's religious stuff. One of the things that God hates is religion. It's religious bondages. He desires relationship to know him. One of the things that David cried, Lord, I want you in front of me no matter what I'm doing. I know I'm an idiot and I made a lot of mistakes and did some stupid stuff, but I want you in front of me. He made mistakes, but he always ran back to the Lord. One of the things that David used to do is hang out in front of the ark. He used to sit in front of the ark because he loved God's presence. He loved his presence. That's why he was a worshiper. David fulfilled his priesthood. He was actually one who ministered to the Lord so he could become a king. Because you first must fulfill your priesthood before you become a king. This is something that is important because this should be a part of our daily service. You know, there are daily duties that we have. Now, that we can't get together every single day, but when it's time to get together, we certainly want to, because these are the effects. Forsake not the assembling of the Lord. It's when we, his presence. Man, I look forward to coming and worshiping. I can seek the Lord myself, but there's just something about the corporate presence that says, come on, brothers and sisters, let's get one. Let's get down to get up. There's something that happens in the corporate presence of God. There's more. You know why? Because you carry the presence, you carry the presence, you carry. And everybody's voice becomes one accord. And something begins to happen. We become like a weapon that goes up like a laser beam and opens up the heavenlies and burns out anything that's in the way between us and God. And it begins to rain on us and begins to pour down his presence. And we begin to get joyful. And everything that we thought we had a problem with all of a sudden melts away. But see, the Bible says that mountains will melt in the presence of the Lord. And so do your problems. Because your mountains are the problems. Hello. Would you turn to the book of Luke, please? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. There's a joyful sound. It's a joy when mommy shows up or somebody shows up for rescue, right? It's a children's scream out. Ah! Luke 9:23. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Then Jesus said to them all, everyone say all. If anyone desires to come after me, now listen. He says, if you want to come after me now, personally, me, he says, me. See, he wasn't talking about coming to get healed. He wasn't talking about coming to get a provision or get a blessing. He says, if you want to come after me, in other words, if you want to know me, you really want to know me, you must deny yourself. In other words, your plans, your desires, your will, your ways must be behind you. Because you can't get close to me if those things are still in the way. If you're still holding on to them. If you're still going to do what you want to do, you can't get close to me. People wonder why they drift from God. Because their will and their desires, their plans begin to outweigh the presence of God. And they begin to drift. See, then they begin to get compromised, complacent, and lazy. Now they're leaning on how they feel. See, they're looking at what pleases them and not what pleases God. Do you think it pleases God to come here and assemble and worship? Yeah. Yeah. Deny yourself. Take up his cross what? Daily. That's a daily service. Daily. That means, okay, daily you will serve. And follow his example. So I'm going to make it real simple. It says, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. If you want to know me. See, if you want to know me, it's not about provision. It's not about even intercession. He's saying, do you want to know me? Come on and talk with me. Come on, let's get together. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's sit down and talk. And when we're done with this conversation, let's hang out. And when we start hanging out, look it, I got another thing. Let's live together. Let's do everything together. You know, I created all things, he said, so maybe I can guide you more than anyone else. How about if I give you a better education in college? How about if I give you a better job than the one that you keep searching after? How about you just wait on me and trust me, and I'll really show you what you're supposed to do. See, follow me. It's not about provision or intercession. It is to deny your will, your desires, your plans, and your life. To take up the cross daily is the daily service, and to follow his example. This is daily service. And Matthew 6. In verse 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. But he says something else. He says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means by seeking the kingdom of God, you must seek him, because he is the kingdom. And his righteousness, his character, his attributes. And all these things shall be added to you. This should be a daily service. These are things we do daily. In Psalm 63, see, the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not want. Because God knows exactly what you need. But if there's truly a relationship, there are things that he'll tell you to ask for, and there are things that he doesn't tell you to ask for because he knows what you need. I mean, he is God. In Psalm 63, is everybody there? Daily service. Psalm 63, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Why? In the fellowship. Why? Because in that corporate worship, man, there's a well that overflows when we become together in one accord. There's enough drink for everyone. I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is what? It's better than my life. My lips shall what? Praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. That's surrender, man. That's saying, hold you. My daughter, when she was younger, she used to come up to me because she couldn't speak too many words at the age of whatever. So she knew hold you. You know those little prickers that used to get out if you walk out in the lawn? You know, those are her shoes. This is hold you. So when we lift our hands, we say, hold you. I want to hold you. It says we're to be childlike, right? Childlike faith. Never approach him as an adult. That's prideful. He's my dad. I'm his kid, and I'm always going to be his child. To him, I'll always be 5, 6 years old. He's my daddy. I'm always going to sit on his knees. On his legs, on wherever, on his lap. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with age in this realm. We're living in another realm where he's our dad and we're his children. And you can still be a child and a warrior. See, but when you come to him, you take off all that stuff. When I go into his presence, and when you go into his presence, when you go in the garden of the glory of God, you don't go in there with your armor on. You don't go in there with your Holy Ghost bazookas and your sword of the Spirit. You go in there as a child, and you talk to him as a dad. Oh, hallelujah. It says this. Look at, where are we? Oh, I knew it said something. Verse 5. My soul shall be what? Satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Hello. That's our daily service. This is things that we do daily. Praise him. You know, I walk around all day. Hallelujah. So since I can't get into corporate worship every single day, hallelujah. I'll be in a grocery store. Man, I'll just, hallelujah. People, what's it? How much is that? Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm always making contact. Making contact. You know, I had a 80-pound Doberman dog when I had my visitation. She was my little demon fighter. But she was so trained, she didn't need a leash. And when I would walk, her nose would bump me. Make contact. Every once in a while, I'd take 5 or 6 steps. Boom. Boom. I'd stop, she'd sit. If a dog ran across, a cat ran across, it don't matter. She'd look at me first. God used that dog to train me. I always remember. She died twice on me, and the Lord told me to lay my hands on her. He brought her back. It was just making contact. That's what we need to do all the time, all day long. It says, I will continually praise you. Make contact. I'll be looking something on a computer. Hallelujah! Man, I need help here. You know, whatever it is, it's just simple hallelujah. What does it say? Praise the Lord. Something worthy on your lips, on your tongue. In Romans 12. So you want to maintain that contact and a daily service to him because you want to know that heaven's behind you. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. See, that's why we say hallelujah. Would you read it with me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or your duty, or your responsibility. This is a daily thing. Lord, I submit to you my spirit, soul, and body, and my flesh. I give it to you. Go ahead, use me. Melt me, mold me, and use me for your glory. Amen? Now look at this, and it says in verse 2, and do not be what? Conformed to this world, but what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So daily, daily, there must be a daily offering of yourself and a daily transformation. We are always looking to be transformed. Transformed into what? His image and his likeness. See, every day there's something that's going on. See, that's where we go from glory to glory. There may be days that you don't even realize it's going on. And you know, you don't have to know everything. We have to trust. God isn't, it's not the area of, I got to know. That's I got to trust. What he chooses to reveal, he chooses. There are things that you are to search out, but those will be led by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Daily praise. Psalm 145. Daily offer yourself. Daily seek the kingdom of God. These are daily service. Psalm 61. Psalm 145. Hey, it's the same book. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 1 and 2. I will what? I'll extol you, O my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day, I will bless you. Hallelujah. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable praise. In other words, we minister to the Lord when we praise and worship him. In Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and 34, daily service. Would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who listens to me and watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So daily we are to watch and warn. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is daily service. 1 Peter chapter 5. Simple checklist today. Hallelujah. Now we know every morning we're supposed to get up and get dressed with the full armor of God and, you know, acknowledge the Lord, attack the devil. You want to be a first striker? Amen. In verse 8 it says, be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? devour. So again, not only are we to be watching to warn, but we are to be alert and vigilant. In other words, we are to be alert and consistent. Consistent. If you are not consistent, you begin to drift. And when you're not consistent in something, you miss something. You'll take something on an area, in other words, you'll take advantage of something, not realizing by missing it. Being consistent makes you more in unity and strength. In other words, if you're consistent in practicing something, you get better at it, don't you? You get better. But what happens is when you stop practicing it, you begin to get worse. It's the same thing in the spirit realm. The more that you are consistent in worshiping God, getting in God's presence, the more alert you're going to be. You're going to be more sensitive. You're going to be more in tune with the things. The Word of God, when you read it, will become food. You'll sense what God is doing without Him having to say a word. See, there's an area in God's presence where there's no language. It's knowing the presence. See, the presence to presence speaks without any words. You know that you know that you know. You're warned. I can't tell you how many times I was warned without a word. And as long as I'm seeking His presence, if I miss it, He'll hold you. He won't let you go into that arena. So we are to be alert and consistent. In other words, we are to maintain that arena of abiding. In Acts 17, you know, and again, this whole area of daily service is depending on whether you want to serve the Lord or not. There are people who just will come to church once in a while and do whatever, but their heart really isn't in serving God. Their heart is actually wanting to love God, but getting what they can from Him. See, that's really not serving the Lord. And let me tell you, God doesn't, He doesn't care about being used because He loves us unconditionally. How many times have a child used a parent? We know they're using us, little flesh creatures. But you put up with it. Yeah, I know. And you provide. You do whatever. But you're putting up with the manipulation. People try to manipulate God, you know. And you put up with it. And God puts up with it with us. But I can tell you that the enemy knows what's going on. And he knows that there's open doors. Eventually, he's going to step in. And then that person's going to start crying out to God and wonder why. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. If there's not life and life abundantly, that means an open door to the devil stealing from you. But I love the Lord. Well, what are you doing to show him? What are you doing to please him? Well, I've been praying and asking. Well, it's not about praying and asking. It's about seeking. It's about getting in His presence. The more you get in His presence, the more you change. Everything is in His presence. His promises are in the Word. But all provision is in His presence. Hallelujah. In Acts 17, is everybody there? In verse 10. And then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. In that they received the word with all readiness and what? Searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they began to search. In other words, what they were doing was looking for confirmation. They look for confirmation. This was daily, wasn't it? Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Daily service. In verse 1, let's read it together. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the what? Word. Be ready in season and out of season. How can you be ready in season and out of season if you haven't been in God's presence? Let me tell you, there is an area there where God will not use you because of the lack of His presence in your life. People are wondering, man, I've been a believer for so many years. I wonder why God's not using me yet. Hello? Because He can't trust you. Because if you can't be faithful to get in His presence, how can you be faithful? Hello? See, you can't give what you don't have. And you can't give what you're just hoping on. you must carry. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convict with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you must be what? Watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Does everybody see this? In other words, this is a daily service. Everyone has a ministry. When you are brought into the kingdom of God, you got a ministry. You don't have to be all, go to school and get a cemetery degree and all that other stuff. It's got nothing to do with it. Does everybody understand? When God calls you, you're in. You're not voted. You're a saint automatically. Nobody puts your name in a hat and pulls it out that day. Hi, oh, this is what we're going to do, a saint. Okay. This is an area where it's kingdom business. See, we've got to come to a place where we're sold out for the life of the kingdom of God and the life of Jesus Christ. Anything in between it is an open door for the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. A crack in a little boat ends up sinking. Whether you see it or not, that crack is still there until it is stopped. Something must be done with that crack in the boat. It's going to take cooperation to fix it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We must be ready. In other words, we must be available. That's all he's looking for. Well, if you're not ready, how can you be available? And the Lord may say, listen, I want you to go do something. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need to go get a check from this person. You don't think my check's better? This is when people wonder why God can't use them, because you know what? He won't call them on again for a period of time. You miss the first call, the second call to do something is longer. Because now you got to earn his trust again to get it again. Everyone wants to serve the Lord when they come into the kingdom, but nobody's willing to pay the price for service. Does everybody understand? Yeah, man, there's a lot of things I want to do for the Lord. Look at it. The first thing he wants you to do is know him. That's all. He wants you to know him. When you know him, not just about him, he wants you to know him. Things begin to change. Because you must earn his trust. And whatever areas he can trust you with, that's what all he'll give you. Does everybody understand? Because he says he won't give you any more than you can handle. Hallelujah. And Ephesians chapter 5. Daily service. Ephesians chapter 5. Daily be imitators of God as dear children. Verse 1, let's read this together, okay? Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as if fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. In other words, what are you hanging around unbelievers for? Why are you associating with those that call themselves Christians that are not walking right with God, that are not seeking God out of a pure heart? The Bible says stay away from them. Now, if you're married to one, you can't do that. So all you can do is pray over the pillow every night, ask God to slam dunk them in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 8, read it with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose. It's our responsibility daily, as a daily service, to expose. To what? exposed. It doesn't mean you're going to go around and tell somebody, man, you're this, you're this, you're this. No, it's your responsibility to be alert so that when it's exposed, you know. Now, the Bible says warn someone, right? If somebody is sinning unto death, what does it say? Warn them. Or what? The blood will be on your hands. That doesn't mean you're going to go around everybody looking for their dirty fruit or their dirty laundry. Hello? We're led by the Lord. God always brings people across your path. And as you begin to speak to them and so forth, and there's an open conversation about the living God, something's going to occur. God's going to begin to expose things, good, hello, or bad. But it doesn't mean you're to do anything with it. You're to either pray about it or be led by the Spirit. And if there's a question asked about it, I tell people right away. You know, when I get people, I'm in jail, and you know, we got people in our classes all the time, and they're in there because they've been bound by drugs, alcohol, doing stupid stuff, whatever. Then when we get out, I mean, I get out sometimes, I'll go to the store, and there's one of the guys there huffing. And I'll walk up, and I said, what are you doing huffing? Not smoking a cigarette or whatever. Man, you just opened the door again. And I'll tell them right then and there. Why? Because they've been in our classes. You've come to me for counsel, I'm going to tell you what's up. Why? Because it's our responsibility. There's a responsibility as a brother and sister to watch one another's back. If you know something ain't right, you need to tell them. Although you could tell them over and over and over. And, you know, once you've told them, you don't have to continue. You don't have to hound them. You tell them, that's it. Whatever they choose to do, everybody's got to work out their own salvation daily also, don't they? Amen? But the Bible says to warn them. Warn. Is everybody okay? Have no, verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and they are evil. There is much influence right now. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for you daily. That's your daily service, isn't it? Romans 7. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 7 and verse 5, I believe. Verse 5, Romans 7, 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the Lord were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should what? Serve in the what? Newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. That's different, isn't it? That's why we are to be led by the Spirit. We are to serve according to the will of the Spirit, not according to the will of the flesh. In Ephesians 6, verse 5, bondservants. We are bondservants to the Lord, amen? Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with what? Eye service. Many people just like to serve to be seen. That's all. They want to be seen. I'll tell you, God rewards what's done behind closed doors. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Again, not with eye service. It's not what you always do out in front of people. It's what you do behind closed doors. In Romans 16, in verse 17, hallelujah. Let's speak this together, please. Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and what? Avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, they're there to receive or get provision from God. They're really not servants. but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So we're to be wise, aren't we? And especially in the areas we are able to discern. So without being consistent and alert, you won't be able to discern those things. Look at, you should be able to know when somebody's manipulating. It doesn't mean you expose it all the time, but you know. You should be able to discern. You know when your children are manipulating. Well, you ought to know that's a discerning of spirits. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. By being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. We should be able to discern these things so that we're not taken advantage of. But when we are taken advantage of, we just bless God. Forgive them. Amen? And bless them. God will take care of that. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, daily service. In verse 1, let's speak it together, please. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. That's who we are. This is our daily service. We serve unto the Lord. We labor unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. We desire to be in his presence, because in his presence is home for me and you. And I'm going to close at James chapter 1. Glory. Hallelujah. In verse 23. 22. What does this say? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, sanctified, separated, set apart, for service. See, it's between me and God and you and God. But if he's always before us every single day, we'll have a desire to always serve him and please him. But there's something we must do. Be consistent. Be consistent. He cannot trust someone that's not consistent. People say, well, God knows my heart. Yes. And he knows we're a mess. It's amazing now how many times I hear that excuse. God knows my heart. I want to slap the hell out of him and make room for heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. You are truly awesome and true, and your word is wonderful. Your presence is overwhelming, and your love is so penetrating. I ask today, Father, that the word that was spoken from your spirit be imparted in each and every one. That seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb to grow and bear fruit for your glory today. And that your name will be glorified because you deserve all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name.